Welcome to Parkside Community Foursquare Church, Sunday, January 24th, 2016. Guest speaker Bill Dendel, stepping out in faith, Acts chapter 1 and 2.
It was amazing to see you guys interact, get together, talk. I mean, that's really what church is about. You know, the last time that I spoke, which was, I don't know, a couple of 3 months ago, we talked about kind of you're becoming missional in as a church, because even though we love to get together, we still need to go out in the community. And we talked about being missional. We don't have to go very far. It doesn't involve a lot of miles. We don't have to go to Tahiti, although that may be a place that we might want to go, or the Bahamas, or somewhere warm today. But we don't have to go very far to actually be missional. And I kind of dwelt on that term, and I don't know really if just us going out in our daily lives is considered missional, but I'm gonna continue to use that term. But we looked at that, and I really just want to talk about today about the importance of you as an individual when you go out, the importance of the church as a whole, to get us together. And then I want us to talk about us as a church in a community here locally, and because the idea of community is changing, or at least our conception of community is changing, and we're going to talk about some of that. But I was looking at this one video, and this young man describes the church in going out into the neighborhoods not as missional, but as incarnational. And maybe that's the term that I might be looking for, but I really want to talk about us personally, us as a church and our importance, and then also our church in the community. So Brooks, if you'd play that first video, that would help. He talks fast.
Jesus came and he dwelt among us for 30 years. Have you ever thought about that? The God of the universe comes and dwells in obscurity for 30 years, and he's not noticed. I mean, are we willing to not be noticed? Are we willing to live and stay in a place long enough to convince the people we love them with our lives? I'm so tired of hearing people say they want to be missional. I want to know, do you want to be incarnational? Will you stay? Will you stay? We have people right now going, we want to move to Tacoma and join you. My wife sits down with them every time. She goes, you think it's amazing? You're going to hate it after 3 or 4 months. I know it. It's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. You don't know what you're talking about. And as soon as you tell them, please don't come if you don't want to stay. And she's right. It's hard. I've had people ask me at times, How come you keep telling this story about Nikki? So you heard me tell the story about Nikki, my neighbor, her husband died of cancer. She became a hoarder. And I say, what do you mean? Why do I keep telling the story about Nikki? I didn't leave. She lives next to me. She's part of my family. I'm not going to stop talking about her. You stop talking about your kids. You had them. They were born. I had a baby once. No. They're your family. Stay and make your city your family. Stay and make your neighborhood your family. Jesus said, I came and you were like a people that I came for, but I call you brothers now. You're my family. Stay. Stay. That's the best thing I could give you today. I'd say, let's stop just running and going. Let's start staying where he sends us and stay.
Kind of interesting point there. Well, we're talking about staying here, and this church has some staying power. There are a lot of folks that have been here for a season, and so they're staying. If we look, he talked about Jesus being inconspicuous for probably the first 30 years of his life, and even after the last three, he traveled and dwelt among the people. In those three-year span, he was only able to get about 11 people together. So if we look at that point, what's success? Numbers is not really success, but we're going to look at how people, again, get together, find common ground, and and just form communities. So we're gonna go back to a little look at the history of the U.S. and how it came about. Between 1754, 1775, somewhere in there, the 13 colonies formed a really loose association. They weren't really together. They were just out there. Started with 13. And then finally, in about 1775, a document called the Articles of Confederation was written. And that was some common ground for these folks to get together. So when diversity finds common ground, things can start to happen and people can get together. 1776, you guys know that famous year, the Declaration of Independence was written. And so the nation was formed and kind of started. And this is a very, very loose timeline. So if I'm off a deer or two, please forgive me. It's just a point of how the U.S. came about. 1776 to 1789, in that period, the Constitution is written, the Bill of Rights is written, and what happened is, this is where really all this diversity in the U.S. that existed at that time, which was not as much as there is now, found common ground. And so that there was a little synergy there. And so the U.S. got together, they found common ground, and communities were formed. We had a sense of being and a sense of belonging for not only a community, but a nation. But if you look back and you really dissect that time and that era, if you went to the settlements, the small settlements, not the colonies, not the group as a whole, although we all belong together, if you look at the small communities, what was the central attraction at that time? How did people get together back then? The church. Biggest building in town, probably right in the center of town. The bell rang and people came. I mean, that's just what it was. You know, the church was the center attraction. And that it's still that way today. It's just in a different concept. You know, we have, you know, the communities may be big, they may be small, it doesn't really matter. If you look at the city of San Angelo, all of the central downtown is located, what's located in the central downtown area now? Churches, all different kinds of churches, but the church is located. And that's how people get together. That's how people form opinions. They get their ideas out and things happen. So that's how kind of the churches get together, but that's, you know, there are some common challenges in that, and we'll go back to that in a minute, but I just wanted to kind of give you guys the formation of how our nation was formed, and then how the importance of church is in our nation and how it still is. So, again, we're looking at you, we're looking at the church, and we're looking at our community. And the church in the community is very important because a lot of people are served by the church, and a lot of people, I mean, it's the place to be. Now we're going to go back into the Bible and look at how kind of things expanded way, way back in the time of Acts. Anyway, in Matthew 18:20, Brooks will throw that up there, and then maybe I can advance from this point if I can figure out how to work this thing. For where two or three are gathered, he's in our midst. I think we got that under control today. There's more than two or three of us here. So he's here and amongst us. So we're starting to form relationships between us and with the common denominator, which is Jesus. He's the common denominator in the whole situation. So we kind of got that whipped. And again, if we look at Jesus and his travelings, he took his group around, he formed his community, a small group, and that thing kind of swells with ebbs and flows. But we're going to look at how it expanded. So if we go to, let's see, does this actually turn on, Brooks? A switch on the side. Acts 1:8. Here's Peter in the upper room, and I'm gonna read the whole thing, but he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Three important points in there. First, you will receive my spirit. That's the number one thing. Number two, you're going to be my witnesses. Kind of what we do on a daily basis, if we realize that, if we're just out in the community and us. And then, in the third sentence, it's that you'll tell my people about me everywhere. So it doesn't matter. It just doesn't happen here. It happens all outside the walls. It happens throughout this country. It happens throughout the world. We've gone from two or three. Here is Acts 1:13. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present. I think there's 11 instead of two or three. So they're finding some association with each other and diversity. All these guys who have diverse backgrounds are finding some common ground. And so when they find common ground, then there's room for expansion. Gregory knows the whole set of different people than I know. Again, we talked about this before. We reach thousands every week just from the people in this room. We talk and we are in the presence of thousands of people every week. So we have the chance to minister throughout the city, not just throughout this little room, but throughout the city. Here we go. During this time, this is Acts 1:14. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. So now we've gone from 11 to 120. A little more diversity. There's lots of folks in this room here that weren't from that area. So we know that all these diverse people are finding some common ground. Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I'll pour my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So here we go. Here he says again, the important part there, he's going to pour out his spirit on just those folks around him, but all people. He says he's going to pour it out on all people. So there's the promise of expansion right there. And we've gone from 3 to 11 to 120. And now we're going to go to Acts 2:41. So those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. So now we've gone from 3 to 11 to 100 to 120 to 3,000. Again, we see all this diverse background, finding common ground, and then as they find common ground, communities are created. And they're formed around the church or the belief in Christ. And then 42 through 47, so I'm going to read that. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So we see this small group that starts out with a few people has now expanded to a lot of folks, or a community now, all with the same ideas and purposes in their mindset, and these folks are the Lord's adding to their fellowship as those who are being saved. So as these guys mingle around, go out in their daily lives, the Lord is providing the message. And the purpose of the whole situation, the people are just—they're doing what they do. They're people. They're going out and meeting people and sharing the love of the Lord. That's 2 through 42 through 47. So everything's good and everything's happening right. And then in 8:1, Acts chapter 8, we see where something's up. And in this case, it was persecution. So what happened is the believers were being persecuted. And so in Acts 4, let's read that. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. They were all scattered and they all went home somewhere. But all that did was create a shotgun effect for the Lord, because those people that now believed were not in one location. They've expanded their geographical presence by going home and starting another community of believers somewhere. And the nice thing about that is that in Acts 4, one more time, it says, the believers were scattered, preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went to. Even though they went away, went somewhere else, believers continued to believe. They took what they knew, they took the love of Jesus, they took the word that they knew with them to their new location. And when they got to that location, they didn't really maybe go anywhere. They stayed in that area. But they were an influence in that area and in that community. So our predicament today is, you know, what do we consider diversity? Diversity back in Jesus' time was men and that diversity was men and women. You know, that was the big, that, you know, that's a split. Today, diversity for us is ethnic background, denominational association. How does this diversity find common ground? And then really what, you know, how many people does it take to make a community? Doesn't take very many. But let's kind of see some of the things that get people together in this day and time. Brooks, if you'll run that second video.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites.
And there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic,
Baptist, Methodist,
Jewish, Mormon,
Lutheran, Pentecostal,
Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist,
a little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional.
But grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay, really.
So how in the world do these people get together? Just a little commonality. Diversity finds a little common ground. Ideas, places, doesn't really matter. You know, denominational lines are really becoming skewed. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to tell the difference between denomination A, denomination B. We're not even going to go there this morning. You know, you've seen the formation of some of these mega churches. By that term, I'll use 3,000 to 4,000 people. In a lot of cases, those folks don't even identify with the denomination. They identify with the idea of some sort of dynamic leader. A lot of times, not all, but some. Just saying, but within those churches, within those large churches, are churches and churches and churches and churches and churches and groups of people, little communities that have found common ground to make a larger pod. But they still all believe in Jesus. They still all do the same thing. It's where they go. In the grand scheme of things, smaller churches continue to dominate the landscape. I'll get it right. Dominate. Yeah, there you go. And the other thing is that one of the challenges is that social structures have restructured the way that folks think about going to church and really the importance of going to church. There are so many avenues by which the word is brought forth that some people want to do it on their own TV or just their own podcasts, really. And we see in the church today, or in society in general, there's really a breakdown that's happening in society where people are actually falling into about four different equal groups. Sad to say. First of all, you have the non-believer. Doesn't know, doesn't want to know, doesn't care to know. Don't know why, just doesn't know. Then we have a lot of people that are I'd call believer by association. If you ask them, I'm a part of the Baptist church or a part of a church, but if you try to narrow that down, they really can't say because they're guilty by association, and that's it. Then there's a believer by limited attendance. You know, you got the folks that come on an irregular basis, and sometimes that's lifestyle, sometimes that's warranted, sometimes it's the social norm now. And then there's the believer by strong conviction, the folks that are there fairly regularly, folks that read their Bible every day. And you see these groups getting paired off, and you see it's hard to move between group one and group four. It's a process. You've got to go almost just one step at a time until, you know, you become that strong believer. And you can see this day and time that people are going either one way or the other. That's all the more important that we need to make sure that if we have that person or those folks on the fringe, that we continue to reach out to them. We continue to help them we continue to pray for them. We continue to tell them that Jesus is the most important thing in their lives. And that's in our daily travels, because we know those folks. We know those people. And then, so how do you know? What do we do? What's the importance of all this thing? How do we get out there? How do we do this stuff? I can't answer that question. You know, we build community within ourselves. We build common ground in all of ourselves, and then when that time comes, God forbid, when one of us moves to a different location, we send them out. We send them out because we know that they've got the Lord, and all they're going to do is they're going to go out just like the 3,000 that were scattered. They're going to go out and they're going to find some common ground with some more folks, and the ministry is going to expand. A lot of times, you know, if people come and they go and we don't know why, that's okay. we release them and let them go, and they're gonna go find their way with the Lord. It's gonna happen. We can't hold on to them. The other thing is that while we're here and in our personal life, we continue to reach deep in the Word. We strengthen our own relationship because that's gonna help strengthen other people's relationships with the Lord just by our communication to them. Again, we continue to find common ground with diversity. I know I'm old, Ashley, but hopefully I can relate to you at some point in some things, and we can have a conversation, and it would be somewhat relevant. You know, it's just, you know, there's so many reasons for diversity and separation, but there's so many reasons for at that point to find common ground and to get together. So many more reasons. And a lot of those barriers that used to exist, age, race, religious background, whatever it is, those have all fallen by the wayside. There's no effect anymore. I don't see any, it's just not there. That's no reason. That is no reason. And again, as diversity, the walls of diversity are broken down, we find common ground, and then community happens. You know, churches have actually changed a little too. They used to be kind of a deliverer of religious goods and services, where in actuality, they need to become an equipper of the folks in here to go out in the community and be a witness. So that kind of makes sense. That's the importance of the individual in you. And we're going to watch one more video as the prayer teams come.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor?
Thank you.
Or the staff? Is the church the music, the tradition, or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan, a simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Amen. If you have a prayer need, just go ahead and come forward as we sing this last song.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we ask as we go forth this day from this church that you bless everyone in this church. Lord, those who are not feeling well, we ask that you touch them with your healing touch. And we bless each other, Lord, by being a good family community, and help us to go forth into our community for your honor and your glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
This has been a recording of Parkside Community Foursquare Church. Please join us for Sunday services at 10 a.m. and weekly Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. We are the church with the big white cross, located at 3024 Freeland Avenue, San Angelo, Texas. Thank you for listening.